The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday, as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, here is a fresh take that we're going to be looking at on using, listen to that word, using eternal life. It becomes a simple formula. If we have nothing to look forward to, we're miserable. If we have something to look forward to, we're happy and comfortable. How are we doing with our looking? Next, it should not be the Bible versus science. Science has no chance of winning against God's truth. Science is knowledge. Man's knowledge changes every few years. Sometimes the old understanding is better than the new understanding. Here's the great part. God's truth never goes through such instability. And finally, we can have full assurance of our salvation because the gospel came to us. How we engage with the witness of God tells us a great deal of how secure we should be. Do we love the most excellent news ever reported?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T, Tierra will answer the phone, and that is just like talking to Sunny D, like Sunny Delight. There you go. Isn't that nice? That is nice. Here's the dealios. There's always a dealios somewhere. Here it is. Maybe you want to share about a prayer request. We'll pray for you right on the air, or you can keep it private. You can always go to the website, hemustincrease.org, and let us know. We'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe you got something you want to share because you got a praise report. Maybe you have an answer to a trivia question. Maybe you have a question about something the Lord's doing in your life. Maybe you want to just explore it. Maybe you got a question about the things that are going on around you. Bottom line is, we want to be an encouragement to one another as we see the day of Christ approaching. And it is a lot closer today than it was yesterday, and getting closer with every passing moment. So if you want to reach out to us, you're welcome to do so. Let's offer up a quick Bible trivia question, not very difficult. Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? Who wrote the Book of Lamentations? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. It's 214-210-8483. Let's do a quick rehash. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokies. Now, don't forget, we said that it, either this month, somebody's calling in, so either this month or next month, we're going to be phasing out of history, looking at some of the different things that we're going to be, you know, putting in there in its place. So you can just be in prayer for us. I think it'll be pretty fascinating stuff. I'm looking forward to it anyway. And then we've got, but we do have one history. I got it. I'm very excited about today's history, only because there's something really funny in it. And if you know me at all, you know I like funny. Even though, as my wife said to me last night, you're not that funny. All right. Well, she's right. All right. Do we have somebody that's ready to answer the question? All right. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I love hearing from you. I'm so glad you called. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Now, so you got these major prophets, right? So you got Isaiah, and you got Jeremiah, you got Ezekiel, and you got Daniel. Right in between those four biggies is that book, Lamentations. Who wrote that?
I believe it was Jeremiah.
That is correct, Amundo. You are 100% correct. And it's really, it's quite something else, because he is called the weeping prophet, and there is so much emotional charge when you go through Lamentations. It's it really does identify his character. How it really shows you how God, when God chose people, he chose them for a reason. And this guy was weeping over Israel, and you get a lot of that flavor, not just in his judgments in Jeremiah, but in Lamentations, you get a lot of that mourning and that weeping. So excellent job on your part. Excellent job. I appreciate
it. All right, y'all have a great day.
All right, thank you, Deborah. God bless.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. Hey, ready? What do we got? Is there anything else I'm missing? I don't think I'm missing anything, am I? Props to T. She worked out the other day. Good job. I'm supposed to work out today. You know, the only problem for me working out is 95% of the time it depends on the traffic home.
That's very understandable. Traffic can make you drain.
Unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing, when something is in the side of the road, I mean, I have no problem when something happens, and I think we should actually be in prayer when you're in traffic and something serious happens. I mean, I do. I'm one of those people that think, I should be praying for those people. I'm praying for everybody involved. But I do think it's different when it's a boot in the road. Why is it necessary to slow down? What is it? Is it? Everybody thinking of pulling over to the side and trying it on, or I just can't follow. Okay. That's me. What do you want? All right. 1 Timothy 6:12. I told you this would be a little bit different approach on eternal life. I hope you understand it. It says this: fight the good fight of faith. For those that think that faith is just a picnic, you know nothing of Christianity whatsoever. And for Karl Marx, who said that's the opiate, you know, religion is the opiate of the nations. And I don't really, or of the people, I don't really have a problem that he said religion in that general sense. But Christianity is a living relationship with a living God made possible by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and lived through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. On our end, we're fighting all the time on a regular basis. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Sometimes when you read scripture, there's ways and phrasings that just really seem to grip and really seem to help us understand. You ever try and open a jar and you're having a hard time opening, so sometimes you'll take like a knife or something and you'll like smack it or something like that. And then they have those things now, those little rubber things, you put it on top of the jar and it helps you get a better grip, and so you can open the jar better. That's what we need on eternal life. We need to either smack it with a knife, or we need a little one of those grippy things. Because we are supposed to take hold of eternal life to which you were called. We're supposed to grab eternal life. Now listen to what it says. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. You are going to live forever. Not just everybody's going to live forever, and it's going to be like in a football stadium for a trillion years, and everybody's just going to be in the stands. It's like, that is not really a good picture of heaven. You are going to live forever. Take hold of that. Grab that. Grasp that. The reason that Timothy, Paul writes this to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Timothy was already going through quite a few things as the young person in charge of Ephesus, a younger person in charge, you know, going through difficulty, especially, you know, people probably giving him a hard time, which is why he had a few stomach aches, which is why Paul said, use a little wine for thine often infirmities. Okay, so he was going through his own thing, and so Paul's like encouraging him, fight the good fight of faith. It's worth the fight. It has to do with our faith. Keep going. Don't give up. And then he tells him, take hold of eternal life to which you were called. Because in the face of eternity, all of this discouragement loses its power. It just goes away. It's like we got a bill the other day. It was like, that is like three times higher than it was. You ever have that happen? You get a bill, you're like what happened? I must have gone out of the state for a week because I've come back and they've changed. Right? It's like one of those things. And you're thinking, oh, it's so drastic. And it's like, in 100 years, you will not care. Period. And there's no. I don't know about the mortgage, or I don't know about the yard, or I don't know about this person, or I don't know about that. In 100 years, you will not care. There will be no care. You won't have to handle with care. There'll be no care. And the whole premise here is to use that eternal life as a way to fight the good fight of faith and to take hold of it and to grab hold of it. And every time something tries to smack you across the face, you just go, I'm living forever. I don't care. My mom said that was a Bronx cheer. She's from the Bronx. Eternal life. Take hold of it. Grab it. Don't let it go. Hang on to it. It'll make all these other things just pale and fall away. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say, Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. Like there's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, who touched me? And they're all like going, okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here. And he's like, who touched me? And then the woman said, it was me, right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody.
and goes, yeah, you're well now, huh? It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, because God's not like that, he's like, oh, your faith has healed you. Okay, your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still don't know what it is about Tuesdays, but Tuesdays just get me rock and rolling. I don't know what it is. It's such a weird thing. Mondays, I think you get some of the stuff out, your cobwebs out. What do you like better, Tuesday or Monday?
Fridays.
That was a good answer. Fridays.
I'm so tired during the week, so it's like Friday. I'm like, yes.
Friday's the day. That's also good because that's the day where the Israelis ate most of their food on Friday. Thank you very much. We're open every day of the week except for Mondays. Okay. There we go. Here's your next trivia question. I just love this question. You guys should know this. And this is, if you know it, that's great. If you don't know it, I will tell you the answer to this is in, I'm telling you ahead of time because I don't mind that, but I want you to know what the actual answer is. The ultimate answer you're going to find is in Genesis 18. Abraham asked God to spare the city of Sodom if a certain number of righteous people lived there. What was the final figure that God said he would spare the city for? In other words, he's talking about numbers. Okay, well, will you spare for this? What was the final figure? That's a good trivia question. I like that question. Abraham asked God to spare the city of Sodom if a certain number of righteous people lived there. What was the final figure that God said he would spare the city for? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Okay? Okay. Guess what I have in my hands? A joke. Look at her. All right. Now, I will think this is funnier than most of you, as is almost every joke I tell. Would that be true? That's true, isn't it? All right. This might be a crickets one, though. So we'll see. You got the buzzer, you got the crickets, and you got the applause. We'll see. A pastor was crossing a road one day when a frog called out to him and said, "If you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess." He bent over, picked up the frog, and put it in his pocket. The frog spoke up again and said, "If you kiss me and turn me back into a beautiful princess, I will stay with you for a week and we can hang out together." Wow. The pastor took the frog out of his pocket, smiled, and then returned the frog back to his pocket. The frog then cried out again, "If you kiss me and turn me back into a princess, I'll stay with you and give you anything you want. I'll stay with you a week. I'll give you anything you want. I mean, how much? Come on." All right. Again, the pastor took the frog out, smiled, and put it back in his pocket. Okay. All right. You can get that if you want to get that. All right. Finally, the frog asked, "What is the matter? I've told you I'm a beautiful princess. I told you I'll stay with you for a week, and I'll give you anything you want. We can hang out together. Why won't you kiss me?" The pastor said, "Look, I'm a pastor. I already have a wife, but a talking frog. Now that's cool. A talking frog." Talking frog already has a frog. Was that a pity one? Okay. All right, we got somebody on the phone. Are they ready to answer the question? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are ya?
Pretty good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Did you have a good Easter? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had a wonderful weekend and was able to share the show God's Word with family members that aren't following Christ right now. So, yes.
Good job, Mary. That's the big key right there, sharing it and telling them the truth. Good for you. That was excellent work. Okay, so this is a classic trivia question because it's an important one, actually. Abraham asked God to spare the city of Sodom if a certain number of righteous people lived there. What was the final figure that God said he would spare the city for?
I believe it's 10.
That is correct, Mary! That is exactly right. And so there was the thought process there is you had Lot and his wife, their daughters, their sons-in-laws. They only really, after all that time, had to reach out to four other people to just, you know, to share, to do exactly what you did on Sunday, yeah, sharing the gospel. And they didn't even do that. And there wasn't even 10 righteous people in the city.
I think there was only one,
yeah,
actually, and that was Lot.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There was only one.
Right.
You know, his wife turned into the pillar of salt, so... She looked back at the city that she loved.
That's right.
You know.
Exactly, yeah, right. One righteous. And what's so amazing is the whole process started at 50, and Abraham got the whole thing down to 10, and it still wasn't going to happen. It's like, how sad is that?
I don't blame him. He was probably too nervous to say 5.
Yeah, exactly.
If there were 5 righteous, would you... There, the city. I think he was probably too nervous to say that. So, okay, well, I'm going to let you go. Lord bless you.
Oh, you too, Mary. God bless you. Great job. Thank you. Okay, Mary. Fantastic, right? 10. The answer is 10. So now if you're Jewish and you're a Christian, you go like this. So Abraham started with God, 50 righteous people. God said, okay. He went 40, 30. All the way down to 10. All right. Did you get to hear the end of the joke at all?
Did I?
It wasn't bad.
It was. It was funny.
Cool to have a talking frog. That's kind of cool. See, I'm the kind of guy that would think that way. I think it's a talking frog. I love that. Okay, here we go. All right, I got to do the teaching. Sorry. 1 Timothy 6:20-21. Oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and... the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Ooh, this is one of those really, really intense. Ooh, listen to this. Guard what's been entrusted to you, Timothy, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and have gone astray from the faith. Some people are more committed and devoted to man's knowledge than to God's truth. It's just a reality check. You might as well just, yep, that's what happened. Even Timothy here is telling him, look, some people have done it. You know, that's not going to change. The knowledge of mankind is not the wisdom and the truth of God. And you think, why would you say that? It's very simple. Because the knowledge of mankind keeps changing. Now, you can tell me all the things you want to tell me, especially from a medical point of view, but I lived with my mom who went to a doctor who told her that smoking would calm her nerves. You can't tell me that didn't happen. Well, boy, that sure changed, didn't it? My whole point in telling you that is that worldly knowledge changes. Don't forget, right? The knowledge of man's knowledge comes from eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's good in there, but there's evil in there. You think, well, how much more evil can we get? I don't know. We keep inventing ways to kill people. I think we can get pretty evil, to be really honest about the whole thing. And it's getting to the point where people will have to make a distinction. They're making distinctions. People mock Christians. Oh, you flat earthers, you flat earthers. Even though Isaiah 40:21-22 say that God sits over the circle of the earth 700 years before science figured out that it was a circle. Because if you know what God has to say, it's like, oh. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you got more science behind you in the little tidbits that God puts in the Word of God than anything. But science is never wrong, right? Okay. They never, ever, ever made a mistake. The Earth is 1 billion. The universe is 10 billion. It's 25 billion years. It's 35 billion. It's 10. It's 11 billion. It's 9. They have no idea. God knows the exact moment. Who's the scientist? That's all you got to say. And you got to beware, because man's knowledge and the desire for it leads people away from the faith. What is that all about? Well, remember in the garden when Adam and Eve were there and the enemy said, if you eat this, you'll be like God. And when people run after man's knowledge, it's because they think they're like God. We know we're in charge. We get it. It's just amazing when you get to that. And let me say this, the caveat to this, but it is important. Then there's people that say, well, listen, Jesus did everything that the medical people said to do. The law told him to do. He never did anything wrong. Almost everything he did, he broke the law of the Sabbath, and then he touched the leper, which was not just against the law for Israel. It was against the law in Rome. You can't touch a leper. Jesus did. He didn't care. I do what the Father tells me, and that's the way it rolls. That's what faith is. It goes way beyond the ability of man to put it together. It's very simple. If you got to choose one or the other, choose the one that has stability, God's truth, which never fails and doesn't change. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and it happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Like that little portion by Robert Jeffers. You know, for those of us who are Jewish, who have that background, and you hear people that say, oh, that's anti-Semitic, talk about the gospel, so on and so forth. Well, we have a term for them. It's a very affectionate term. All of us in the Jewish community use it. That's the term self-loathing Jew. That's one of the things we use it amongst ourselves. I'm Jewish. I can say that all day long. You don't like it? Tough. You didn't have to have the stuffed cabbage like I did, so I get to talk about it. That's how it goes. You see, I have no room there. I give no room. Zero. Like, that, mate, that was my life. I went to private Hebrew school. Don't want to hear about it. Here's the thing. What do we got? We got a trivia question? Probably should do that. Don't get me rolling on that. That's a bad subject. Right? That's tough. All right, here we go. Now, you know, Jesus, they did do this casting lots for the undergarment. That was one piece. A lot of people think that garment relates to the cloth that was ripped in half. That's a theological thought. Other people think that the one-piece garment had to do with the fact that that was a high priest-style garment. Okay, either way, I don't mind. Here's the trivia question. Into how many parts did the soldiers divide the other parts of Jesus' garments? How many different parts, so you guys should know this from Easter, how many different parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' other garments? Not the one that was not the onesie, but the multiple parts. How many different parts was that divided into? I'm assuming you guys heard Easter messages, so maybe that was covered. If you know, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. For those that are really struggling with that, I will tell you it's in the Gospel of John chapter 19. So you can kind of check that out from there. All right, what do we got to do? We got to do website. Should we do the website? And then history. All right, let's do website real quickly, because this is where we need the giving, because stuff costs money. That's how it goes. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, trivia question. How many parts did they divide? How many different parts? Well, I should read it correctly. How many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments? Not the onesie, the rest of it. Okay? All right. We need to do a history. Like I said, history is going to be fading out, but I'm so glad we got to this particular history, because there's something in here that's more funny than funny can be. I mean, it's just beyond funny. So let's play history. Get ready for that. Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past. All right. So today, a couple cool things about today. Today is National Caramel Popcorn Day. Good, right? That's not bad, right? Do you like that? You like caramel popcorn?
Yes, my mom loves it.
Okay. Do you like regular popcorn too?
Yes, buttery. I like the cheesy, like the cheddar popcorn.
Isn't that cool? They have those powder things that you can put on. Yes. I love that.
I do too. I got the cheddar bacon one, I think.
Oh, that is just all right. Now I am a little jealous, but don't say anything. It's also National Twinkie Day. Great thing about a Twinkie is two things you got to know. If you drop a Twinkie from the top of the Empire State Building and it lands on the ground, it won't splat. Okay, that's a joke. And then after there's a nuclear meltdown of the entire world, it's only cockroaches and Twinkies that survive. Okay. That's a joke, too. For those that want to know, think it's important, 1909 on this day, the first person to reach the North Pole was Robert Peary, although there's some dispute between him and Frederick Cook. And I don't know. I wasn't there. So probably one of the two of them. And then Little Orphan Annie debuted on NBC in 1931 on this day. Here's my favorite thing about today, though. Ready? Okay. It's going to take a couple extra seconds. Today is Plan Your Epitaph Day. Now, the epitaph is what you put on your tombstone, like the last thing that you have to say. So I have a couple of classics that I just must share. Poor T. She's already shaking her head. Poor T. Okay. I have a few of them. If anybody has a good epitaph, don't look it up on Google. If you have one, you can share it. If not, that's okay. All right? Nobody get offended. These are jokes, but they're actually real, which is what's so funny about them. This is like the last person people had to say about things, right? Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Come on. that is great. This one, people are going to get mad. But this is from England, so that's the only defense it gets. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. This is like, wow. These are pretty brief. All right, here's another one. I'll just do this real fast. Don't get mad at me. This is supposed to be a little bit of fun. This is so bad. Here lies Lester Moore. Four slugs from a 44. No less, no more. And then the last one, which is going to go on mine. I have all these faith ones. You know, like, you know, when I have something, I have faith one, like he trusted in the Lord, or the, you know, it's just begun, or whatever the case may be. But here's the one that I probably should have on mine, that I've told my wife that she probably would put on mine. Ready? I told her I was sick. I told her I was sick. Come on. That's funny. All right. Isn't that, I love it. I'm so glad we got to at least go through that again. That's just so funny. All right, get ready. What's our trivia question? We didn't answer that yet, right? Okay, trivia question. Not the onesie. The rest of the stuff. How many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments in? This is going to be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Joy and Cordy stepping up, making the correction and getting the correction correct. It's always good to make a correction and get the correction correct. If you know, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. This is out of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. Theologically, this is just, oh, master writing. Only God could write with this level of brilliance. Paul couldn't even have written with this level of brilliance. This is just the Holy Spirit all over this writing. Here's what it says. We know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he chose you. I know. This is what Paul is saying. I know God chose you. Listen to how he says why. Because our gospel came to you in not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full assurance. When you heard the gospel and your inside being, your spirit, which became born again, was like living in the assurance of the love of God, that moment or that experience, I know it's terrible to say the word experience if you're a Christian, but that moment is a definitive that you were chosen by God. When the gospel for you is assurance, when the gospel for you is more than just a message, but a life changer, when the gospel for you is something that is greater than a story, but it is the truth and it gives you a sense of freedom, when the gospel for you is a peace that brings everything to a standstill, that's how you know that God chose you. That's how you know that God said, you. Because when the gospel came to you, it brought a full assurance. It was beyond a message. It was in the power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that confirmation gave you life. That's how you know he chose you. Because the gospel had an impact on you and changed you. It's so comforting. It's so brilliant. It's hard to explain how we know, brothers and sisters, love of God, that he chose you. Because the gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. All right. How cool is that? All right. We got somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Okay. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother David, this is Brother Richard.
Brother Richard, how are you?
I'm doing great. Very great. And I believe they did not tear his garments. They cast lots for it.
That would be, right, so that would be the onesie, right? The one piece that they didn't want to, that's okay, don't worry. So the onesie piece they didn't want to tear apart, and that's that part of it where people think, was a high priest thing, or was that the garment that was like the New Testament, where that garment ripped in half in Matthew? That's all right. But there was other pieces that they did split amongst them, and there were how many soldiers that they split amongst them? I'll give you a hint.
Four.
Yes! Yes, 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 yes! Whoa. Yes! Yoo-hoo. You got it. So you had the onesie, and that's the one they didn't want to tear apart. Then they had the four soldiers getting different pieces, stripping him while he was there, probably prior and on the cross. I mean, there's some question about when that took place. But that's an excellent job, and you did fantastic, and I'm super proud of you. That was great work.
Well, my goodness, give me a minute and let me get over this.
What a blessing.
Y'all keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it so much.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. There's so much more to go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yeehaw. I love Tuesdays. I don't know what it is. Just something. I just can't figure it out. Just whatever it is. I don't know. All right. Let me read the portion that I was talking about, because I know there's some people that are like, well, wait, I don't understand how that works. And so I want to make sure that we are kind of on the same page. In John chapter 19, that's John 19, verse 23. So if you want to be like the Bereans, make sure what it says and so on and so forth. All right, so it says this in verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier apart, and also the tunic. Now, the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And therefore, they said amongst themselves, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it. So that's the onesie, okay? But the other part was the four parts, which I think we made clear. Yeah, I think I can hit the microphone again. Watch. I keep bumping into it. Okay, which disciple... Okay, so you have a 1 in 12 chance here, and you kind of already know it's not Judas, so it was really 1 in 11 chance. Which disciple after, in John 14, after Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, after, okay? So Jesus said in John 14, 6, so anybody says to you, well, Jesus didn't say he was the only way, you just go, okay, Jesus said this in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when people go, well, that's not what he meant, just laugh. And John, but after that, what disciple said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us? Ooh. Which disciple said that after? Right after that. If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, and we're going to do a Greek word. So let's get the Greek stuff together. Let's do the Greek word. All right, there you go. I'd give you baklava with it, but I don't have it. By the way, I was going to get pizza with you ever have baklava? Oh, you haven't had baklava, have you?
No, I've never had baklava.
Oh, my goodness. But the problem is me getting you a piece now, you won't believe how much they're trying to charge for a piece of baklava. Like $4.99 for a piece of baklava. I mean, it's really, really delicious and wonderful. But $4.99? I get my car washed for $5.99. Come on, you're killing me. All right, this is just going to read this real quickly and do the word for you, otherwise I'm going to lose my mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, Now he who established us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God, who also sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So I want to talk to you about the word guarantee. It's a roban. I guess you can say, I want to put a robe on. Right? That's a good way to think of it, right?
A robot.
And some people might say a rabban, but a robot. And it actually means the word guarantee. It's a business term that speaks of earnest money, you know, kind of like down payment, like the earnest money for a house, a part of a purchase price paid in advance as a down payment. It is the first installment, which guarantees full possession when the whole is paid later. So Jesus says he sealed us, and or Paul writes, he sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee regarding our eternity. The Holy Spirit inside you is a guarantee from God, a down payment, a robon. Get it? A robot.
A robot.
A robot. And that's a guarantee about what's to come. Come on. See that? That's good. All right. All right. All right. So there's the question. The question after Jesus, that's our trivia question, because people are answering it. After Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father by me. One of the disciples said, well, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Okay, well, he probably didn't say it that way. That's very King James-ish. Yeah, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I mean, probably said it like normal. And the bottom line is, which disciple was that? I will give you one other hint. It was not Peter, James, or John. Because now I've narrowed it down. There's 12 disciples. I took Judas out. I just took Peter, James, and John out. Now you got one of eight. The answer, by the way, is in John 14. If you can't get to a Bible, just wait. We'll get you the answer if somebody doesn't call in. 972-445-0770 for the call in. 214-210-8483. Okay? Okay. It's all right? All right. Rest of that 1 Thessalonians portion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think this is verse the other part of verse 5 and 6 because I didn't finish it. You know how we lived among you for your benefit, and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord, when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Okay. Two things that really are worth noting, very important to note. Number one is Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. He's like, look, you know, you yourselves, you became imitators of us. You became imitators of the Lord in spite of severe persecution. Now, not a lot of people like to talk about severe persecution, but all the Christians went through it at some point. Everybody was getting, you know, harassed at some point. And even if we are, and hopefully, let me say this, and hopefully everybody is right in how they've tagged it down, you know, hopefully we'll be flying out of here. There won't be a problem. You won't have to go through it. But you as a Christian should be prepared, pre, mid, post, or not that way at all. You should be prepared to go through persecution by relying on the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of persecution. God will get you through anything. Okay? And these Christians in Thessalonica went through severe persecution. Doesn't sound like it was very good, does it? And he said, even with that going on, you know, you accepted it, you said yes, you went forward, and then look at what he drops in there. You welcome the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. And I just, this part of me just smiles and laughs because, look it, we want as many grasping handles on joy as we can get. And in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And here you're getting in the New Testament how another part of that joy emanates in our lives, reflects in our lives, and that is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings joy. Right? Is it not a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. All right, well, how's your joy going? Which is funny because we have joy that texts our show, joy and then Cordelia. But the idea is to understand from the biblical point of view, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you are not having joy in your life, you got to make sure that you're not quenching, which is kind of closing up the flow, or grieving, which is making sad the Holy Spirit, because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's a joy that comes in the message of the gospel. And I understand that some of us have lost that joy. And Scripture actually addresses that. But what you and I need to be aware of is that that gospel message that saved you is the same gospel message that keeps you, that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And your acknowledgement, surrender, and submission to that message brings a joy into your life, and that joy does not dissipate once you've become a Christian. We should have joy from that message continually, which is why you hear me say, if you heard it on Easter and you hear 100 more Christian Easter messages, you're lucky. You're blessed. Because there's a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit that accompanies the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who don't want that? I mean, I don't have to be a genius to go, I want more of that. Right? Let me put it this way. I'll put it in the nicest possible way. If I'm eating ribs, okay, and I like the ribs, you know what I want? More ribs. Right? It's not rocket science. I want more of that. Right? If I'm eating now, unlike ribs or chocolate cake or something, it's, you know, you can't have an unlimited amount. But in the Holy Spirit, you can have as much as you want. But I'm just saying, if you like it and you want more of it, I want more joy. It's not complex. I want as much as I can get. I want to be in the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Why? Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Bam! I got it. I'm there. I'm with it. I love it. Yes. That's all my responses to that. Okay. We have trivia still that I still have to answer, right? Okay. Anyway, so there's a joy that goes with that. You're going to hear me talking in and out on 1 Thessalonians because I'm just really digging this study that I'm doing on it and having a good time, and hopefully it's a blessing for you. Okay, the disciple that said, show us the Father, and it will suffice for us. It'll be sufficient for us. That was Philip, okay? And Philip said, show us the Father. And then Jesus said to Philip, one of the moments in my life where I read this scripture and it just blew me away. And Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, Philip, and still you don't know me? And it's like, oh. I remember when I read that, not just kind of like an overview reading, but reading that and took that personal. And I was like, man, I've known the Lord a long time. I still don't know him. How poor. I mean, it's just so powerful. And then Jesus is like, you seen me, you seen him. It's like, then you start to really get it. Like, oh, I'm just now figuring this stuff out. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We got a great show lined up for tomorrow. We're not taking a break, but we're exiting. We hope it's a great rest of the day for you. Be blessed in it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short 22 and a half hour break, then we'll be back. God bless.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.